Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we come back to this year of faith. One aspect of how we are to live it, which is on the one hand, as we know, to grow in our own understanding of the faith and to share the faith with others. And what we realize in talking with so many people around us is how little some people know of the Catholic faith. What the Catechism teaches us is known by too few. And often the most basic questions people ask us, they don't know the answer. And thank God the Holy See has given us the Catechism in 1992. And it answers most of the questions and contains so much wealth of knowledge, which we in the first place need ourselves, not only to explain it to others, but to live the faith more fully. The more we know about God and creation and providence and mercy and heaven and hell and purgatory and grace and the sacraments, we go through each article of our faith. All of them help us so much to enter into a very personal, faith-filled relationship with God. Faith-filled and love-filled relationship. Our life is lit up with the light of Christ. We have meaning and purpose, and we know what's right and wrong. The Ten Commandments were given some 1,200 years B.C. to Moses. And God, knowing that we could have known them by reason alone as the natural law, gave us the revealed law to make clear to everyone, to make it easy for all to know the basic precepts of the moral law so that we could live by them. The more we know them, the easier it is to live by them. And so many people don't know that certain things are wrong, and they do them, but no one told them. And always when we do something wrong, we get hurt. One thing we should be very clear on, if something is a sin, it's not just because it hurts God. In a sense, we can't hurt God. It's because it hurts us, even though we don't realize that. Everything that we do that is sinful in some way, sooner or later, hurts us. And God doesn't want us to be hurt. So he gives us the Ten Commandments. And so the more we know about our faith, the easier it is to live it, the easier it is to love God, to do his will, to grow in holiness, in a word. But secondly, the more we know, the more we can explain it to others. And so many people ask us questions, sometimes very basic ones. I had a little girl at Montgrove College in Sydney the other day just make a statement. She said, "My brother told me that a mortal sin is a sin that you know is wrong and you do it deliberately, so that no matter what sin you committed, if you knew it was wrong and you did it deliberately, that was a mortal sin. Now, that's wrong. Mortal sin, yes, has to have knowledge and has to have deliberation in the will, but it also has to have grave matter. And this element was left out. And here was a very well-meaning young boy, I don't know at what age, convincing his very well-meaning young sister, and I can't remember what year she was in, but they both came to that wrong understanding of what mortal sin is. Lord, so many people looking for truth, everyone is looking for truth. And we have that great blessing of having received the truth. And you say, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Lord, you have given us that light. Our lives are lit up. We are not in darkness. We know you. We know what awaits us after death. We know your grace. We know the sacraments that you have given to your church. We know the moral law. Our lives are lit up. What we can't do, though, is hide that light under a bushel, that no one knows we are a Catholic. Lord, help us to let our light shine so that the lives of many others can be lit up. And you give us, as the apostles, that great mission to go out. And let us read your words again, given to the apostles just before you ascended into heaven. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the close of the age. And someone might say, but Lord, that was just for the 11 apostles, wasn't it? And you might answer, no, that was for the whole church. We all share in the mission. All the baptized share in your threefold mission of priest, to sanctify our life, prophet, to teach others, and king, to build up your kingdom on earth. We all share in that mission. Pope John Paul II wrote a beautiful encyclical that gets too little mention. Redemptoris Missio, the mission of the Redeemer. And he spoke there about this great mission of the church. And he made so clear that the mission is wherever anyone is. It's not some mission territory in the Andes or in the South Pacific Islands or in Africa. The mission is here in Newcastle, in Maitland, in Sydney, where I am. There are so many people that need Christ. We all need him. And so few that know him. The mission is here. And if we like, the mission is recovering. And God is the one that does it, but he needs us to help him. Those 86% of Catholics who don't go to Mass regularly on Sundays. But Lord, help us in this year of faith to teach others, to pass on, not as preachers, not as imposing anything, but simply as a friend, explaining, showing them where in the catechism it says this or that, so that they come to know you and to love you and perhaps to change their ways and to come back to practice the faith again. And in particular, I wanted that we pray a little bit about passing on the faith in the family. And it is here that we have the first mission. We undoubtedly received the faith in our families. Perhaps not, but more likely, yes. We grew up in a Catholic family, or someone was Catholic. In my case, my father wasn't. But we prayed. We went to Mass. We went to confession. We received the sacraments. And we simply grew up in a very natural way, living our faith. There was no question about whether God existed. We worshipped Him. We knew He existed. And this mission of passing on the faith in the family is done in every generation. We have received it from our parents. Now we become parents and we pass it on to the next generation. And what many people of the older generation today are finding is that their own children, whom they did instruct in the faith, now are not practicing and not bringing up their children in the faith. But then we, as grandparents, have a great role to play. I always like the example of a saint known as Macrina, who in the, I think it was more or less the 4th century, was the grandmother of her children, of course, grandchildren, and she had a country estate, and her grandchildren would go and spend some time with her in the summer. And from one family alone of her grandchildren, there were 5 recognized saints, and amongst them, St. Gregory of Nazianzens, St. Basil the Great, their sister, who was Macrina the Lesser, another brother who also, like the first two, was a bishop, 5 saints in one family. And perhaps the grandmother was the one that had the chief influence on them. I'm not sure of that. But let us never underestimate what grandparents can do. And often the grandchildren are staying with the grandparents, and this is the one time that they go to Mass, that they say grace before and after meals, that they say the rosary, that they get taken to make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. And whether it is the grandchildren or the children, Lord, help us to bring up this next generation who, when they are born and begin their life, are all innocence, all eagerness to learn, sponges to absorb whatever we give them, and help us, at least in the family, to give them that fullness of teaching that you have given us by a great act of mercy. It's a gift that we know the faith. It's a gift that we believe. And we can't keep that gift to ourselves, but to pass it on wherever we can. And so we bring up our children in a climate of faith, where we do say grace before and hopefully after meals, where we teach the children to make an examination of conscience before they go to bed, and we teach them to say their night prayers. Perhaps we read them Bible stories or simple lives of the saints. And we go to Mass, and they go along. And we go to confession. And when they are of the age, they make their first confession. And we go to communion, and they make their first communion. And we say the rosary. And we teach them the catechism, starting in a very simple way, teaching from a children's catechism. and they absorb like sponges. I remember a very fine father of, I think, 11 children, and he was instructing his own children and some other ones at one stage in the Ten Commandments. And his four-year-old boy was playing in the background. And one day the four-year-old comes up and says, "Dad, ask me the Ten Commandments." "Oh, you don't know the Ten Commandments. You weren't in the class. You're too young." "Yes, I do know them. What's the fifth commandment? Thou shalt not kill. What's the seventh? Thou shalt not steal." He had memorized the Ten Commandments at the age of four, playing in the background. Then one enters life knowing basics of the faith. At least he knows the words at four. Later he will come to know the meaning. But it's not only what we teach them through the catechism. It's the way we live, that they see the faith is such a natural part of our life. We go to Mass. We make a visit to the Blessed Sacrament. We teach them that Jesus is there in the tabernacle. Say something to Jesus. They see us genuflect, and they realize God is present. They see us go into a church, and maybe when two children are talking, we say, "Shh, it's the house of God." And they learn to pray. And so many people don't know this today. Well, we teach our children that. And then it's the way we confront the different experiences of life, and especially the negative. Someone has become very sick. Someone has lost a job. Someone has died. And they see us face these situations with faith. We tell them, "Don't worry, God is a father. He knows what he's doing. And let's pray for Grandma that she gets better." And then they pray with faith. And if Grandma doesn't make it, then we explain that God is a loving father who is taking Grandma to him. And now she's upstairs in heaven interceding for all of us. And she's closer to us now than she was when she was on earth. And just speaking like that about faith, we teach children faith. Lord, help us to see what we can do in our own families, and often to get together with other couples and teach the children together. And I think of a number of families that were doing this in Melbourne when I was there. Every Saturday, they had the catechism lesson in the afternoon. The children were more or less of the same age in primary school, when I was there at least. And they would have some instruction in the faith, then some games, and then they had a meal all together. And they moved around from one house to another. And those children were growing up knowing the faith. Because I went there a couple of times and I would give them the catechism and I would ask them questions. And I saw they knew the basics. It's a very good way to instruct not only our children, but others as well. There is a board game that can be played that's based on the catechism of the Catholic Church. And to advance, you have to answer a question correctly. And in all of these games and maybe quizzes help children to love learning about the faith. The following week we ask them, "And who can tell me how many sacraments there are? And who can tell me what are the sacraments of Christian initiation, or what a sacrament is?" We help them to memorize certain little formulas, and they learn the faith from a young age when it's easiest. Lord, we finish our prayer, first of all, with thanksgiving, that out of all the people in this world, you have wanted to give us faith, to have us grow up perhaps in a Catholic family, or to find the faith later in life, to know at least the basics, and above all, that gift of faith which is to believe in you. Help us now not to hide our light under a bushel, but to let it shine so that others can discover you who are the light of the world, as indeed we are too, so that more can come to know you and love you and be with you forever in heaven. But you need us to teach others. Help us to find those that we can teach, whether adults or children, to bring more people into the knowledge of the faith so that they can live it, that their lives are lit up too. They can live well, they can die well, they can be with you forever in heaven. Mary, our mother, whom we call Seed of Wisdom, you brought wisdom into the world, wisdom, the Son of God. And that one who was the way, the truth, and the life has started his church, has taught the world. Help us to give thanks to you, Mary, for bringing Jesus into our life. Help us to bring him into the lives of others. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.